If you were here last week, we had that the turnaround of things and with Elijah. Elijah having killed all the 400 prophets, and he was on fire for the Lord. And yet he was running for his life because, what I said, because the enemy has this way of injecting fear into the hearts of even God's people, even a great man like Elijah. But God will never abandon his own people, so he watched over Elijah, and she led him to a place where he was going to speak to him. And the Lord himself, he wants us to, it's obvious that our fears or our problems are only solved by him. And so he is able to get into any situation that we are in. It doesn't matter how hard it is and how bad it is. Certainly for Elijah was very difficult. You see, was very difficult. And Elijah here was running for his life, and we see how God encouraged him and fed him, preparing him to speak to him after that. Because I said God wants us to come to a certain level where we can receive his word. When we are down and crushed, he doesn't just come and speak to us just like that. We will be crushed the more. You see, but always he prepares us to commune with him. And so that is his character, because he wouldn't want to waste his word. He wants us to receive his word. So with Elijah, after he ran and he spent that night in that mountain, the mountain of God, that is verse 9 of chapter 19, 1 Kings. So after he ran and then he went and was, he had food a few times, and then he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went to a cave and spent the night. That cave, I said, that was the very cave that Moses entered, you see, in Exodus 33. Now the Lord is moving to speak to him. And the title I have for tonight is God did not reject his people. And God will never reject his own people. And so God will never reject his own people. And we live in a country where people have departed from the Lord because of their sins, even our sins. So God will not reject us. And certainly he didn't reject Israel. At a time of apostasy, and people were rebelling against God. And this is what really Elijah is saying. He's saying, I've been very zealous. And the word, actually, this is the translation of jealous. Is the right word is jealous. So he said he was jealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. That was what Ahab was doing. He was trying to destroy God's people, and especially prophets. God had to help and to strengthen. So Elijah here is saying to the Lord, everything is bad and I am the only one. I am the only one. And then Apostle Paul tells us in Romans 11 that what was the answer of God? What was God's answer to Elijah? You see, when he said the Israelites have rejected him. So, and then Apostle Paul says, no, God said, so not everybody has departed. And certainly our prayers in our days today, that not everybody will depart. Not everybody will compromise the truth. Not everybody will just turn away from the Lord Jesus Christ. And no, everybody will try to water down the truth and say that, well, things are changing, the world is changing, or we can have a different form of Christianity and we can overlook this and this. So, no, if we have been tempted in any way to think that way, no, we are to reject that attitude. So God did not reject his own people, and he will always not reject his own people. Well, let us put these things in perspective. Now, another thing we want to see and observe in this. So when he ran and he got to this place, and when the word of the Lord came to him, he said, what are you doing here, Elijah? What are you doing here? Many times we have heard this as a rebuke from the Lord. But actually, I didn't sense anything like this. And so, Elijah, you have come to this place out of fear, isn't it? So what are you doing here? You see, you are on a mission, isn't it? This is not where you belong. So why are you here? Do you think the Lord doesn't know that? He knows this. Didn't the Lord know that the fact that that battle was huge for him? The fear was real. So the Lord didn't rebuke him because he ran for his life. You see, the Lord didn't want him to confront this witchcraft in his own strength. If the Lord wanted him to engage there, he would have stayed there like when he did in the first place, when he faced that. The Lord would not push us into a battle that he has not prepared us for. So that is why he said to him, Elijah, why are you here? And then we heard this reply. It's here, Elijah, also even the text here. So out of when he is low, oh, it is obvious. But again, he's trying to say that the Israelites, they are all have done bad things. And that they have turned away from the Lord. But probably we will be told later on that the Lord has kept for himself 7,000 who have not bent knee to Baal, isn't it? But here, Elijah is a great prophet. Maybe that was not revealed to him, or he knows, but actually he's just trying to make a point here. But because it is very quiet, isn't it? It's very quiet. We will never know of those who are really holding fast to the truth. You see, it's a personal issue, it's a matter for these believers. And they are very humble people. Who are living in the land. So obviously, they were submitting to the leadership of the country, of the land, Ahab as a king, and yet they were not following his things. People were going out to do all their things, but actually these people, they were not involved in Baal worship because they were faithful people. And so Elijah here, when he said this, so the Lord, again, was not really confronting Elijah. Instead of saying to him, straight away that I have 7,000, he said something different. He said, the Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord. For the Lord is about to pass by. You see, so the Lord is about to pass by. So far, God is communicating his word to Elijah. But he himself is going to pass by. You see, he's going to meet Elijah. Like he met the great Moses. You see, so God is just here. He's comforting this man. He's telling him, you are a great prophet. You see, you are a great prophet. I'm pleased with you. And though you are running for your life, so you are a great prophet. Then a great and a powerful wind. That the Lord manifesting himself coming to see Elijah. So what happens? He came. We are told three things happened before he passed. God comes. He said, then a great and a powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. You see, this is theophanies. They exactly that was what happened at Sinai. The word of God is full of these references of when the Lord comes, the earth quakes and the mountain shakes. And you see, these are the manifestations of the Yahweh himself. You see, so when Jesus comes, he performs miracles. You see, here the Lord himself, even like he sent forth these signs, and yet he is not in that. These are signs of Yahweh. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. Sometimes we say to people, stay in the fire. Maybe the Lord is not in the fire. You see, stay in the fire, stay in the fire. We have heard this. Maybe we stay in the river, stay in the river. The Lord is in the river. You see, here the Lord is not in the earthquake, not in the fire, because these are manifestation of God's presence. These things speak of our God. So as if it says, when we see these things, we are mindful of God who is ruling. And these signs are very good for us to hear, because they speak of this God, our God. So even he manifests this, he has the power to shake these things. Let me see Psalm 18, what is written there. In my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. From his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears. The earth trembled and quaked. You see, so this could be Elijah. That is Psalm 18. This could be Elijah when he was running for his life. And the Lord knew from his sanctuary, isn't it? That the great prophet is facing challenges. That is what happens to us. Nothing happened to us with the Lord knowing it, isn't it? So he knows our needs. He is present. His eyes are upon us all the time. And then this is the testimony of David himself. He said, the earth trembles and quakes, and the foundations of the mountain shook. They trembled because he was angry. God was coming to meet these great prophets and to deal with the situation. That is what is happening. This is what is going to happen. So the Lord was not in all these things. So... And then, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper from the Lord. A gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. You see, here we see that it is in this gentle voice that the Lord has come. And that is the way he chose to speak to us. That was what happened. He was speaking to Samuel. You see, that is why in our business, when we are busy and rushing and doing things, it might be very difficult for us to hear the Lord. But when we are still before him, we may hear his gentle presence, and then he will speak to us. So let us seek to be quiet. And because as we sit and rest from anything we do, and then the Lord may come and speak to us. We need to do this. And so we rob ourselves of the voice of the Lord when we are so busy. And I know this myself. After a long day, after hours, six, seven, you can't sit and concentrate and hear the Lord. Sometimes you can do it six before you have dinner, you have your devotion, and sit maybe if you can. In the morning also are good times. So here, the Lord is speaking to Elijah in a still small voice. Then a voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? We see this is repeated twice. And God calling out his name, Jacob, Jacob, Abraham, Abraham, Elijah, Elijah twice. Why the Lord would say this twice? This is a confirmation of the intimate relationship between him and Elijah. He's saying, Elijah, my servant, why are you here? You see, and so now when the Lord calls twice in this manner, you go and see how he called Elijah. He called Jacob, and he talked also to Abraham in that manner. So he's about to tell them something so important and significant. Whenever the Lord repeats our names, he wants to speak to us. He wants to tell us something important. And then he replied, he said, these things again, twice. The Lord heard that. So the Lord is wanting him to confess this completely, to come out of him. And so the Lord said, he said again, I have been very zealous. And then zealous or zeal and devotion to God. That is what Elijah is trying to say. I've been devoted to God. The Israelites have rejected, this is verse 14, your covenant, broken down your altars and put your prophets to death. With the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. So he is running for his life, and it's good that he ran for his life because the Lord would not want us to endanger our lives. That is what we came out even this morning when we are told not to cast our pearls before dogs, you see, and pigs. So we are not to push the truth. We are not to get into battles that we are not called to enter into. So we are to really be careful not to get ourselves into troubles because we are on a mission. And your life here on earth matters to the Lord. and you want to finish your ministry. So the Lord said to him, go back the way you came and go to the desert of Damascus. Now the instructions. And when you get there, anoint Hazael king over Aram. Also anoint Jehu, sons of Nimshi, king of Israel, over Israel. And anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, from Abel Mahola, to succeed you as prophet. So here, the Lord is going to terminate his ministry. He's going to finish. He's going to retire here. So there are a few questions that we ask here. Ezra is being retired because he ran away. Did he fail to finish his calling? I think the answer is not yes. The answer is no. But we need to know also that the calling is from the Lord, and he has a certain time for us to finish the task that we have. So the Lord knew what he was doing. Elijah was facing real danger, but that was not the reason. Perhaps that is the appointed time for him to finish and for Elijah to be raised up. You see ministers retiring and passing on the torch to younger pastors, and so, but can we really retire from ministry? Maybe that which we are called to do, so maybe we finish, and then the Lord might have something else for us to do. And Elijah now is going to go to heaven. Just imagine someone who has sinned against the Lord will be rewarded by being taken into heaven in a chariot. No. But the Lord is saying that you are to finish here. But I have not rejected my own people. This is what he's saying. He says, you, Jehu will put to death any who escape the sword of Hazael. And Elisha will put to death any who escape the sword of Jehu. All these people are going to finish the work that Elijah began. You see, killing the prophets and facing and confronting those who were rebelling against God. See? So here God is about the business, his own business. He is raising up other people to finish the very work that Elijah was engaged in. And that is what he's saying. Yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed down to Baal and all whose mouth have not kissed him. And for the sake of these people, I'm going to confront all these wicked people who are leading my people astray. I'm keeping a God who keeps his covenant. You see, so God does not reject his own people, and certainly he does not reject Elijah. You see, but here Elijah is going to retire. You see, so but here he expressed his fears truly real. And he wanted to die. Is that really one of our experiences sometimes? Yeah, let us not be surprised when we are overwhelmed. But we seek to speak and hear a word from him and are finished. And certainly he finished well, because he finished at the word of the Lord. He retired at the word of the Lord. Sometimes we make our own decision, but let us seek to hear from the Lord himself. And it's a tough thing, because we will be coming from very low. You see, like Elijah, he was just running. He was tired. He was hungry. And he had to be fed, you see, and led to the right place where to meet the Lord. Because the Lord himself does not reject his own people. And certainly you and I, even if we are facing situation like this today, let us remember that the Lord is engaging with us. Whatever he has called you to do has been ordained for you to do, and you are to be faithful in that. And when the time comes for you to finish that, and then the Lord will reveal this truth to you. So certainly Elijah, he faced the Lord, and the Lord, I didn't sense any kind of rebuke here in this text for him, because not every action that we did out of fear from real things, because this is a real threat, and the threat is not just like something he manufactured. It's a real threat for his life, because the enemy, as I said, has this evil power of really intimidating Christians, and it's only when we come to the mountains then we will hear the Lord is speaking to us, and he will tell us what to do, like what he did with Elijah. Elijah was instructed, and he will go back again, and he will finish the work of the Lord. You see, the Lord, this is his character. Let us trust our God that we, everything we do matters to him. But the most important things, let us have this zeal or jealousy for his name. Let us be devoted to the covenant he has made with us. Let us delight in the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord, the one who bore our sins and delivered us from the kingdom of darkness, who brought us thus far into the knowledge of our loving Heavenly Father. So this is very important that we know, as we read this text, that the Lord was so merciful to Elijah. And now we will see, and Elijah also, his miracles were few. You see, and Elijah, we will have fun with Elijah, this man who will perform more miracles than Elijah, but all to the glory of God and to the blessings and the benefit of his own people. And so this is our God, and he is here tonight to encourage you, no matter what you are facing. He's seeing everything, you see, and he will ask you why you are here. It's not because he doesn't know. I don't want to allegorize, but maybe where you are now, he knows it, but he will ask you, why are you here? I have better plans for you. Please lift up your eyes. I am passing. You see, even the passing things, that was exactly like Moses, because they said, no one will see my face and live. You see, that is why he was able to even like to hide his face. And then you see, just to see that God has come. What an experience to have the Lord God himself coming and passing by. And you know that is, and you have the instructions from him. Certainly we have his words. We have also even in your quiet time. So God speaks to his own people through his word, through his Holy Spirit. So all this he uses as means to strengthen us. So his ministry didn't finish. He didn't fail. And certainly the ministry is God's ministry. No matter how much he would want to continue, but the Lord said, that is a time. So let us be prepared. There might be a time for us to rest from what we have been doing, because that pleases God if we do that, because that is his character. So it's not our ministry, it's not our job, what we are doing even. So that is his job, you see, and he knows his greatest delight is in us, not in what we do. So he got better plans for us. Amen? The Lord God did not reject his own people, and certainly he will not reject us. No matter how we face things and we fear and we try to run for our lives, but also he will speak to us, he will comfort us, and he will own us. We are his own. Let us finish by singing our